Letter to the editor. Select running mate qualified to assume presidency. Don Campbell notes that Massachusetts Senator John Kerry, quote, soon can start thinking seriously about whom he would choose as running mate. Campbell suggests Kerry find a running mate who can be counted on to deliver a dozen or more electoral votes from a state Kerry couldn't win on his own or make the difference in a few other closely contested states. Here's a novel thought. Why not select someone qualified to assume the presidency in a heartbeat? I suggest Kerry employ the criteria George W. Bush used when he chose Dick Cheney in 2000. Select someone, quote, eminently qualified to assume the presidency if necessary. Objection. Cheney had already had 3 or 4 heart attacks at the time. The idea that Bush, one day his brain would explode from stupidity and Cheney would step in and have a heart attack? What kind of confidence is that for this country? And then what, we got President Hastert? Trying to figure out how to work the phones, trying to figure everything out. That's not a good idea. This is a lying diddle monkey. You don't pick a guy in extremely poor health to take over if you have a problem. That was a stupid move. Everybody knows the truth. Bush was a total idiot. He'd never been out of Texas before. He doesn't know how a bill becomes a law. He doesn't know how to pronounce anyone's name. He needs someone in Washington to hold his hand, someone who'd been there before, someone that knows what they're doing, someone that's not. They had to balance out Bush's total stupidity, so they got a really sharp, although evil, man to do that. That way, he can look at him and say, Uncle Dick, are we going to bomb somebody today? And then Dick can tell him what to do. This guy goes on. Bush chose Cheney, a former chief executive in the private sector who had extensive government experience. Boy, did he. That's how he got the big money in the private sector, because of his government experience. Cheney certainly wasn't selected for his ability to win his home state of Wyoming and his 3 electoral votes, a safe Republican state if ever there was one. Larry Miller, diddle monkey in Florida. Hey, Larry, guess what? Cheney didn't live in Wyoming. He lived in Texas. And it's unconstitutional for the two guys to be from the same state. So they said, okay, we're going to pretend. So he flew to Wyoming and said, let's pretend I live here. And he registered to vote up there. It was all a sham. It was a big fake. This BFEE is used to getting around the Constitution. They know all the loopholes, and if they don't, they can call Ted Olson or James Baker and just make it happen. Or they can call Fat Tony Scalia and just say, hey, dude, you don't have a problem with us subverting the 23rd, whatever it is, the amendment. And he said, oh, no, what are you kidding? Let's go hunting, Dick. Let's go kill some fowl, Dick. Letter to the editor, titled Bush's Questionable Record. President Bush's campaign strategist, Matthew Dowd, recently made this statement, quote, politicians get in a lot of trouble when they present themselves as different than who they really are, close quotes. That is one example of this White House's hubris. Has Dowd forgotten that his boss claims to be a compassionate conservative, one who unites, not divides, a person who's against nation building and a war president? Bush doesn't appear compassionate based on his domestic policy, is certainly not fiscally conservative, has divided this country and the world, is actively nation building, and now finds himself defending a questionable military background. That is true. The evil Bush boy that the media has covered for. There seemed to be a turn somewhere towards the end of January, about might have started about the time David Kay says, there ain't a damn weapon in Iraq. Everything started to tumble for the old little Bush boy. And that was about the time Howard Dean was in charge. In charge as in way out in front. There is a theory that the powers that be, the skull and bones people perhaps. Do you remember back in the old days, back about 72, they knew Nixon was going to fall, but they didn't want Agnew to take over for him. So they went back to Agnew's governorship, I think, of Maryland, and found out that he took some piddly-ass $10,000 bribe. I think they got John Connolly for that, too. They got John Connolly for $10,000 from the milk lobby. Oh, please. $10,000 wouldn't buy me. I can't believe it buys you a seat inside the White House, but Yeah, they found some kickback that Spiro Agnew took. They had to get Nixon. Oh, wait, they knew Nixon was out, and they didn't want Agnew in, so they had to get Agnew first. So they came up with these charges against Agnew. He resigned his vice presidency, which sent Nixon looking for a vice president, and he picked Gerald Ford, probably because he had to pick somebody that the Democrats would accept. That seems to be the same deal here. The powers that be, whether it's the Skull and Bones people or the Howard Beale's forces and nature or whatever he said, but whoever the big boys are that pulled the big strings behind the scenes, about 5 weeks ago decided they didn't want any more of Bush. That left them with Dean. They didn't like Dean because Dean seemed unlikely to play ball, is one way to put that. So, just like they had to destroy Agnew before they destroyed Nixon, they had to destroy Dean before they destroyed Bush. So all of a sudden, Dean became the most dangerous, unstable man that's ever been near a microphone or a pulpit. So number one fell like a rock. For some reason, the media loved Kerry. You know, I wonder, do they write actual memos? Do they hold meetings and say, Kerry's the boy, get the word out from now on? I want all the stories to be pro-Kerry and anti-Dean. And everyone says, yes, sir, and they all do what they're told. Because think about it, even the late-night comics, too bad I don't have a big staff or a Nexus Lexus or whatever those things are called. Wouldn't it be interesting to go back and see the day? Did Jay and Dave and Conan and Kragers all turn on Bush? Was it the same day? Was it the same week? Because remember, for 3 years, three-plus years, it's been all Bush is a good man, and that's why they've had to do the Clinton blowjob jokes again and again and again, ad infinitum, ad nauseum, a little Latin lingo for you there. But they had to do the blowjob jokes because President Bush was off the table. You can't do a Bush joke. And then somewhere around the middle of January, word went out, Bush jokes are back in, you can do Bush jokes now. So, like, boom, like someone threw a switch, suddenly everybody started piling on Bush. Bush the idiot. Bush can't find the weapons. Bush is crazy. Bush stammering like a fool on Meet the Press. They said his State of the Union address was the worst ever. Sounded like all of them to me. Sounded like the same speech that you praised the heck out of last year. Someone threw the switch in January. Dean has to go before Bush goes. So that's what it looks like as of February 23rd. Suddenly, the media loves Kerry. They're no longer interested in Bush. He's yesterday's news. We just don't care anymore. And all of a sudden, they're going to love Kerry. It appears, as of today, they're going to put Kerry in the White House. As a Democrat, I like that. Getting rid of Bush has to be number one, but it just makes you wonder, who writes the memo that says, starting Monday, Bush is bad and Kerry is good? Because a month ago, the memo went out, Bush is bad, Kerry is good, Dean is bad. We got to get rid of Dean first. And once we get rid of Dean, now it's Kerry is good, Bush is bad. Again, I like it, but it seems like it needs some explaining. Oh, this be Ann Coulter again. You know, it just keeps happening, and I know you're tired of hearing it because I'm tired of saying it, but it would be nice if a couple of Democrats would stand up, you know? Here's a headline. Thursday, February 19th, Bush's changes to advisory process draw scientists' ire. A bipartisan all-star roster of Nobel Prize winners and former federal science officials accused the Bush administration Wednesday of politicizing science. Hey, Daddy's on the radio. Daddy's on the radio. When scientific knowledge has been found to be in conflict with its political goals, the administration has often manipulated the process through which science enters into its decisions, charges a document signed by 60 scientists in an unprecedented joint effort by the leaders of the nation's science establishment. They are calling for independent investigation, congressional investigation of federal science policies. Now, what are they mad about? Let me list the ways. The report lists the following as objectionable practices, echoing past complaints from former government researchers. You're not going to believe some of these. Listen to this. One, the removal of highly qualified scientists from lead poisoning, environment, health, and drug abuse panels, and their replacement with industry representatives. Can you believe that? They're taking out the doctors, and they're putting in lobbyists. to decide on big decisions that are going to affect everyone's lives. Number two, forbidding EPA, Health and Human Services, Agriculture, and Interior Department scientists from speaking publicly. They're putting a gag order on the smart people. I'm sorry, but that's very Hitler-esque. You know, when you read the list of people Hitler went after, it was the Jews, it was the Catholics, it was the teachers, it was the scientists, it was the smart people. They went after the smart people and killed all of them, especially when they go after the liberals and the teachers and the scientists. I mean, that's what we're talking about here. Bush doesn't want anybody that knows what they're doing in charge. He wants a nation of followers so they can all go the wrong damn way. Here's another one. Revisions to the Endangered Species Act that limit scientists from commenting on the protection of habitats. Talk about open and free and reaching across the aisle and all that crap. What he's done in real life is to gag everybody who disagrees with him, gag the professionals. Don't let the doctor decide about your wife's abortion. Call Tom DeLay and let him decide. This is crazy. Here's number four, the disbanding of advisory panels on nuclear weapons and arms control. Well, we don't need those. Number five, the last one, the dismissal of assessments by national lab experts on the likelihood that Iraq had weapons of mass destruction. We'll see now, if there was a Democrat in Washington, why doesn't he take that last paragraph there and wave it around after he set his hair on fire? There are reporters in Washington that will talk to you if you're going to throw a fit. You know, like that clip of Howard Dean screaming that they had to play 100,000 times. If some senator stood on the steps of the Capitol and read that last paragraph, the dismissal of assessments by national lab experts on the likelihood that Iraq had weapons of mass destruction, if he would wave that around and say he's damn tired of Bush lying to people, don't you think that clip would make the news? I promise it would. But they're all too afraid. Why are they so afraid? There's nothing wrong with telling the truth. I mean, granted, it was in the USA Today, buried on page 10A. I mean, who's going to read that? But the Democrats, they just insist on laying down. And let's all remember, once again, you know, this next election, one reason I wanted that the gay marriage issue to get off the front, because if we lose this election, we're probably going to lose a few more senators. And once Bush becomes filibuster-proof, he can do anything. There'll be absolutely nobody anywhere can stop him. All they can do is symbolically, what would be nice if the Democrats did sometime, in that last State of the Union address, they could have just all had a signal. When so-and-so stands up, every Democrat in the House stands up, and we walk out, and we let every live TV camera in the United States record that they chose to leave the building rather than listen to his lies again. Now, see, that would have been really effective, and it would have made a whole lot of points, or it would have caused a whole lot of stir, and people would say, wow, why are the Democrats so mad? What did Bush do? Maybe we ought to look into this. What's going on? Is there a story here? But they're just so afraid. We got Bush shutting down the scientists and putting the lobbyists, the paid-for whores, in the place of the scientists, and the Democrats say that's okay. I just don't understand. All right, this next one's a double dipper. We're going to call it useless and angry. Let's do the useless first. Headline, jury pool sworn in for Terry Nichols' trial. Terry Nichols, you remember, was Tim McVeigh's friend. Seems like I don't know exactly what he did. Who has the time to keep up? But he helped him plan it, or he knew about it, or he bought him the barrels, or he did something. He was involved. He didn't pull the trigger. But he's already serving a life sentence for the deaths of 8 federal law officers. He's not getting out. There's no liberal governor who's liberal enough that they're going to let this guy out of jail ever. He's going to die in prison. So what the hell is the state of Oklahoma doing, spending millions and millions and millions of dollars to put this guy on trial? I know it probably makes the families feel better, but the son of a bitch is not ever getting out of prison ever. Doesn't that make the families feel good if he was out running around like Osama and the idiot president refused to go look for him? I can understand that, but he's already in jail. He's never getting out. Putting him on trial for killing the non-federal officers is useless. It's pointless. It's damn expensive. It's one of those deals where the trial's going to take a year, and it probably won't be in Oklahoma, so they're going to have to fly everybody to some place. The last one was Denver, so maybe they pick Albuquerque this time. So they're going to hundreds of families or hundreds of people, dozens of witnesses, dozens of lawyers, dozens of judge helpers, whatever they're called, They're all going to go to Albuquerque or however that works. And however it works, it's going to be damn expensive and damn useless and pointless. And it just makes you wonder why. Also on the useless, victim of priest abuse found dead. One of the most outspoken victims of clergy sex abuse was found dead in a friend's apartment in Boston. The cause of death for Patrick McSorley, who was molested by defrocked priest John Gogan, was not immediately announced yesterday. He nearly drowned last year but denied it was a suicide attempt. He often appeared at news conferences to criticize the Boston Archdiocese for shuffling abusive priests, including Gogan, between parishes rather than removing them from positions where they would have contact with children. Now, you know I'm not a big fan of the Catholic Church and the way they've handled this serial rapist problem by putting them in fresh waters every time they got caught. Name a crime, well, you can, murder, but for the church to intentionally relocate these monsters again and again. It's so maddening, and to this day, in 2004, they refused to take a zero-tolerance policy, whatever that's called. They refused because they all want to crack at the little kids. What's wrong with this country? What's wrong with you Catholics? You people, you Catholics out there that go to church and put money in the till, why do you do that? You're donating money to single men who refuse to take a zero-tolerance pledge against raping little boys, and you give them money. That's sick. Why do you do that? Disclaimer, as I always do, I was never molested by a priest. I had the best childhood anyone could ever have until I turned into an orphan. I don't know why I'm upset with this and you're not. You Catholics continue to give them money, and you continue to not insist they sign the pledge of zero tolerance. Why should I be worried about this and you're not? Something's wrong. You should write a check and say, this is my last check until every bishop signs that zero tolerance pledge. Would that not be the right thing to do? Why do you give money to the rapists who refuse to reform? Explain yourselves, please. I would appreciate an explanation from those of you giving money to the church while they are continuing this sexual abuse of little boys. Okay, now we're getting to the pissed off part. Human rights groups denied seats at tribunals. Space is limited. Pentagon lies. Three human rights groups said Monday that the Pentagon is trying to manipulate news coverage of military tribunals by refusing to allow the groups to attend possible trials of detainees at Gitmo in Cuba. A recent exchange of letters with the groups, the Defense Department said space was limited at these trials. It said seats would be provided to the news media and the International Committee for the Red Cross. Well, the International Committee for the Red Cross is not allowed to speak, and the news media will greenlight anything Bush tells them to do. So that means there are no uninvested observers at these trials. And to make it worse, for all we know, they've already had 1,000 trials. For all we know, they've already beheaded 1,000 men on suspicion of looking like an Al-Qaeda guy. For all we know, do you put it past Bush? Do you put it past him to murder people on a whim, even though he's done it all his life? But the idea, the Pentagon is lying. They're going to... Have you ever been up in the St. Louis Arch? To get up in the arch, you have to pack people in like an airplane cockpit. I think it holds 4 people at a time, but you have to squeeze together and you have to hunch over a little bit because they put you in this little teeny tiny egg-looking thing that goes sideways as it goes up the arch. The Pentagon's trying to act like that's what they're going to hold these trials in. They're going to hold these trials in a room so small that 3 more people cannot fit in the building, and that's BS. If they're doing nothing wrong, what do they have to lose by letting an uninterested observer observe? What are they doing that can't be reported? Well, I guess we know what they're doing. They're denying these guys a defense. They're denying them a chance to defend themselves. They're denying them access to a lawyer. They're denying them any kind of legal instruments such as a library book or, you know, legal books to where they can defend themselves. These guys are guilty on their face. When Bush or Ashcroft see a guy that looks like he could be Al-Qaeda, they are guilty. They will probably be murdered by the government you and I pay taxes to. I guess that's no big deal. We don't care that our government is secretly murdering people because they look funny. That's two things that outrage me today. They've got a guy down there in Cuba. The detainees designed for possible trial include David Hicks, an Australian captured fighting for the Taliban. This guy, David Hicks, he was, quote, captured fighting for the Taliban. Now, what does that mean? He was caught like that, well, even that John Walker guy. He was guilty of standing there in Taliban clothes, right? I mean, is being a member of Al-Qaeda a death sentence? I just don't know enough about it. I don't know if Al-Qaeda has 20,000, like any organization. Tim McVeigh was a Republican. He was a nutty Republican who went too far. Does that mean all Republicans should be executed because sometimes they go too far? I don't know. Should we kill every Al-Qaeda? People are idiots. They join groups. Jim Jones down in South America and David Koresh in Waco. Sometimes people are just stupid. They fall in with the wrong crowd, and yeah, that's stupid, but is it a crime? Sure, it's a crime to hijack airplanes, but did this David Hicks hijack an airplane and kill some people in New York? I don't think he did. Odds are they're going to murder this guy. No lawyer, no civil rights, no representation, no phone call, probably hasn't talked to his family since he was arrested. Just a little spooky. And here, you want to know the scariest thing I've said in this segment? They are not going to turn this power over to John Kerry. I think they've got the 2004 election already won. They may have rigged it through Diebold or for whatever reason. If Kerry ends up winning, I predict they will somehow they'll find a way to call off the whole presidential powers thing, all this Patriot Act. They're not going to put that kind of power in the hands of a Democrat. They don't think a Democrat can handle that kind of power. They think only a Republican, a ruthless, savage bastard, can handle that kind of power. They are not going to turn power over to Kerry. This is a problem. I sent messages out to the highest big guys like Condison and Lyons and asked them, do you think they're going to turn over power to the Democrat? They're less worried about this than I am, but I'm pretty damn sure. If Kerry wins, I cannot see them. They are not going to turn over everything to John Kerry. They're not going to turn Gitmo over to John Kerry. They're just not going to do it. They're going to find a way. The Supreme Court's going to find a way to invalidate the election or something, but I don't think it's going to happen. Now, see, again, General Clark, I think, would be a different story. I think General Clark could get on TV and say, the citizens of America elected me. That's my White House. And I think people would get into the streets. I don't know if they'll do that for John Kerry. But I think we got trouble coming because the Republicans are insane, they're drunk with power, and they're absolutely corrupt.
Giving Ditto Monkeys the red ass. It's Bart Cobb.